In this series, we have been in Isaiah chapter 9, and you can turn there. We'll be actually in also Luke chapter 2 in a little bit, and a couple other supporting verses. But we've been looking in Isaiah and the attributes and characters, character of God through Christ and the prophecy that he gave us. Last week, Adam talked about the characteristic of him being Mighty God. The week before that was Wonderful Counselor. We're actually skipping to Peace, Prince of Peace, and then next week we will come back to Everlasting Father. But when we talk about peace, if there is ever a year that we needed peace, 2020 would probably be that year. Now, I know for some of you individually, you may have had some years that were very difficult. Maybe you compare something tragic that has happened in your life to 2020, and for you, there's no comparison to what you've dealt with and what you've experienced at that moment in your life compared to 2020. 2020 has like been easy for you compared to that. But for others, it's been very difficult. For others, there's been all kinds of things that have gone on, and as we talked about a few weeks ago, it's been like one chaotic event or one tragedy after the other, just an ongoing perpetual tragedy, one thing after another. And so for some of you, it may be that in 2020, because we all desire to have peace and to be at peace, and so that might be peace of mind, it might be peace and harmony with one another, with a relationship. We all understand what that's like. We all have that desire to have peace and to be at peace. So for some of you, it might be peace of mind due to the COVID stuff. Or maybe some other, maybe it's the COVID virus that has set you at uneasy or made you fearful. Or maybe it's been some other illness that you've dealt with. Sadly, some people have dealt with both. You've had to worry about contracting COVID while also trying to find healing through some other sickness or other illness that you've dealt with. So maybe you've wanted peace of mind this year, but it just seems like it is fleeting, like you just can't get it. For others, maybe it's peace of mind from the worries of financial setbacks or the other unknowns of life. For some, that's kind of connected. Because of the COVID, the stay-at-home orders and things like that, that has had an effect on you financially. And so there's a bunch of unknowns. What's tomorrow going to look like? What's the next month going to look like? What's 2021 going to look like? And so you have desired to have peace of mind in your finances or in those things. Maybe it's peace of mind with other issues like things of wearing masks or shutdowns, or we know that this was a political season and all of the strife and things that come with the politics and the government and all of those things. Maybe it's peace in our streets from riots, or on another end, peace from injustice and hatred. Maybe it's peace from terrorism and war and all of the things around the world. Maybe it's peace from a personal hurt, habit, or hang-up, some personal struggle that you've gone through. Maybe through all of the things in 2020, you've dealt with depression or anxiety, or maybe it has triggered some other things in your life and you've struggled with some addictions or things like that. And so you want peace over those things. You want peace in those hurts, habits, or hang-ups. Or maybe it's a peace in relationships, that harmony between you and another person, because maybe you've had strain on your marriage. I've seen many marriages, especially with the stay-at-home orders and things like that, struggle and suffer, and some even fall apart. Because I guess in the busyness of our world, as people are working and engaged in all of these activities, maybe they don't fully know one another. They really haven't given the attention to one another that they needed. And now all of a sudden, it's like constant companionship, and they don't know how to live with one another. And maybe some of you've experienced that. Or maybe it's a relationship with a parent, or maybe a relationship with a friend, and there's been a strain there, and you just want peace there. We all understand the desire and the longing to not only have peace, but to be at peace. In fact, if you look at the definition of peace, it is an agreement or a treaty between warring nations or antagonistic nations and countries and groups. It is the end of hostilities between countries or groups of people that would be fighting against one another. It's a state of mutual harmony between groups of people and nations and especially in personal relationships. It is a state of tranquility or serenity. So it's a state of mind. It's a contentment in our souls. And so we understand this. We know this. And so as we've seen in the book of Isaiah, the Israelites could understand this longing and this desire for peace, peace of mind, harmony between other countries. In fact, we saw this as we started this series, that they had rebelled against God, that they chose to do their own thing. And in that rebellion, not only did they have bad leadership, the scripture reveals to us that they had a crisis of in leadership, but they also had adopted the sinful practices of their pagan neighbors. They, among other things, had hostility among themselves. The Bible said that it was man against man, and it was neighbor against neighbor. And so all of this has taken place, and because of this, the result of this rebellion and the result of this sin, God allowed their enemy, the Assyrians, to essentially be prepared as they did to invade them. And in that, it was promised that as they invade you, your land's going to be desolate. They're going to take all of your resources. You will pay the price or the consequences. You'll suffer the results of your sin because you chose to do this. And the scripture told us that their sin had brought them to a place of darkness, deep darkness, distress, and gloomy affliction. See, some of you may be able to even identify with them even in that, because you understand that some of the things that you're trying to get peace about or you're trying to find serenity in are self-inflicted situations and circumstances because of the decisions you've made, the choices you've made, or some of those things that you won't let go in your life. Maybe it's choices you've made in your relationship. And so when you're trying to find peace in that relationship, it's because of something you did. So you understand self-inflicted circumstances and situations where you might now be longing for peace, harmony, a serenity, a peace of mind because of a situation you've put yourself in. Well, with this being the scenario and in the backdrop, it's in this circumstance of the situation they put themselves in, they made their own choices, they rebelled against God, and yet we see that our merciful, grace-filled God in this moment promises them the greatest gift ever, and that is Emmanuel, God with us, that he would send his son to take on flesh and be among us so that we might have a new life, a different life. We might have hope. We might have peace. And we see that now in Isaiah 9:6. It says, "For a child will be born for us. A son will be given to us. And the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." And so this is the promise that's given to them with the backdrop of their sinful rebellion. They're about to have an enemy come in and oppress them, and this is their circumstance. This is what's going on. And then almost 800 years later, when this son is born, Jesus, as he comes to earth and is born of a virgin, he was born to a people and a nation that once again finds themselves being oppressed by an enemy, Rome, that they were ruling over Israel at the time that he is born. And so, once again, these people longing for a ruler, longing for a king to set them free and to free them and to establish a kingdom on earth, this news of a people who are being oppressed was welcomed. A wonderful counselor, a mighty God, who can free us from an enemy, an everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's what we need, is this Messiah, this King who will be the Prince of Peace. He will bring peace to our people and to our nation. So they welcome this, thinking that Jesus was going to come and bring about an earthly kingdom, an earthly rule. And so I wonder today, for the Israelites, for Judah and Isaiah, peace for them was to be free from their oppressive enemy, to be their own nation, to be ruled by their own people, to be able to live freely themselves. That was what peace to them looked like. That's how they would have translated it in this moment, to be free from Rome, to have all the oppressive tax regulations and those type things released so that they could be free. I wonder today, What does peace look like for you? How would you define peace in your own life? What would you be looking for in your own life in 2020 with some of those backdrops, some of those things that we've been talking about? What kind of peace have you been longing for, that you've been looking for? See, our circumstances might vary and might differ, but we all long and we all desire peace, peace of mind, peace among our fellow people. Luke 2, 8 through 20 tells us this with the story of Jesus. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. So in this moment in history, as the Bible records for us, Jesus is born. He fulfills his promise in Jesus that he would send to us Emmanuel, God with us. The child, this Son of God in flesh, has now not only been promised, but almost 800 years later has been fulfilled in this person. An angel and a multitude of heavenly hosts show up to the shepherds, just these common guys working in the field, to make this proclamation, not only that in the city of David, a Savior was born to you. They make this proclamation that the Messiah has come, but also they proclaim to the shepherds here this statement: "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors." Here's that peace that they longed for. Here's this Messiah. Here's this King. And they make the proclamation that there is peace on earth to people he favors. Now, I grew up, and I've told you all this, in kind of some very legalistic environments. And so I was raised on only being able to use the King James Version Bible. It's a good Bible. It's just written in very old English. And so that's how I was raised. When I go to quote verses a lot of times, like, that's what comes out is the KJV. And that's okay. Also, between that and the New King James Version, it actually words this verse a little differently. It says this. Both of them say, "And on earth, peace toward men." Peace towards just general in statement towards men. Now, most modern Bible translations, I typically stick with the CSB. Today, I'm going to use another version to help pull out one scripture in just a moment. But those are written and translated from manuscripts, which are closer, they're older than what the KJV was translated out of in the New King James, that were closer to the original documents that we get the scriptures from. And so that were inspired and written by the authors who penned the Bible. And so these are closer to those original manuscripts, and they all essentially say something like this, like we just read: "Peace on earth to people he favors," or as the ESV says, "Peace among those with whom he is pleased." One version says, "with whom he is well pleased." And so that's completely different, but it's very important than what the KJV says. And I'm not attacking the KJV. I'm just saying it's not worded in such a way to give a full definition of what is happening here. Because Jesus didn't just come to bring peace to all people. He didn't just come so that he waves a magic wand and then all of your problems and all of your worries and just all of your fears and all of those things that you would want peace from are just gone. They just are vanished. that they just disappear and they are resolved. He didn't just come to make sure that you have peace among all people. It's just not going to happen. In fact, we have to look at other parts of Scripture, and I want us to look at this because it can be confusing. You might read this one day and say, hold on, Nick said something about Jesus came to bring peace, peace to all men, he's the Prince of Peace, so why does he say this? Look at Luke 12, 49 through 53 real quick. This is Jesus speaking. I came to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already set ablaze. So here Jesus, he's talking about judgment, and he's saying, I came to bring judgment on the earth, and I kind of wish it was already being judged. I already wish that it was set ablaze. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how it consumes me until it is finished. Do you think that I came here to bring peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother. Some of you are like, amen, the Bible's true because I have teenagers, and that is absolutely 100% true. But then it goes on, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Some of you are like, I'm also married, and I know that is true because I have great in-laws, by the way, but I know I'm blessed and you might not be that way. So, but here he is saying, look, you think that I'm bringing peace, but I'm bringing division. So how do we reconcile these scriptures together? How is Jesus both the Prince of Peace, the one who says, you know, I'm bringing peace on earth to men, but later says, I came to bring fire to the earth and how I wish it was already set ablaze. And then also, if you think I came to bring peace, you're mistaken. I came to bring division. In fact, Matthew 10:34 uses the word sword. He says, I came to bring a sword to divide, even dividing family members. And so how do we reconcile that? Well, the reality is if you think that you're just going to believe in Jesus and that you're just, even if you think that, hey, I'll place my faith in Jesus for salvation and then I'm just going to have peace in every area of my life, in every situation of my life, you'll be disappointed. You'll be left sad and upset because that's not how it's going to work for you. In fact, you might have placed your faith in Jesus for salvation and things got worse for you. Because now, you now belong to Christ, you now proclaim him as king, and you have, the Bible says, spiritual enemies that will make war with you, that will seek to destroy you. That's why Ephesians tells us to put on the whole armor of God. And so if you think, I'm just going to believe in Jesus, or I'll even say this prayer and trust him for salvation, and then all of life's going to be okay, you're going to be disappointed. Because it will not bring peace to everything in your life. Jesus didn't even have peace in his whole life with everybody he encountered in life. After all, he was crucified. So Jesus didn't even have peaceful relationship with everybody. But as we said in the first week, Jesus didn't come to our chaotic world to just resolve and to take away all of our worldly problems. We talked about him being wonderful counselor and how that's not how a counselor works. So he didn't just come to take all of your earthly problems away. He came to reveal the root problem that we all have as people, and that is that we are sinners in need of redemption and new life. So he came to reveal to us what we truly and genuinely needed. Colossians chapter 1, 21 says this in the New Living Translation. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies. Here's a reality for some of you that maybe you haven't realized or maybe you didn't know. You won't be at peace when you're at war with God as his enemy. And when you live in rebellion, you're at war with God as his enemy. The Bible says that we're separated by our evil thoughts and actions. So even if you feel like, hey, I can discipline myself, Paul said at one point that he had to beat his flesh into submission. So even if you have mastered the art of making people think you're religious, and that you've got it all put together, and that you're good, like you want to do something, but like you don't, you don't tell the person who cuts you off on the road, you know, they're number one. You don't do those things. You've kind of kept yourself in check. You've learned how to do that so people think better of you, and they see on the exterior the mask that you've learned to wear, and they think you're more righteous and more holy than you are. So what he's telling us here is even if you've done that, you are separated from him, you are his enemy, you are rebellious because you are far away from him because of even your thoughts. So just the reality that you thought you wanted to tell them that they're number one, even if you didn't follow through with it, that was enough to set you apart from God in sin. The lust, the hate, all of those things, the Bible says that even if we think those things, if we desire them in our heart, then we are sinners and separated from him. So he tells us that we won't be at peace when we're at war with him. We can't be at peace when we're his enemies. Your rebellion divides you from him. You're far away from him in those moments. That's been every one of us at one point in our life or another. It might be you even today. And I want you to write this down. It's better to be at war with men and have peace with God than to have peace with men and be at war with God. It is better to be at war with men and have peace with God than to have peace with men and be at war with God. The Jews wanted a king to save them from their earthly oppressors. That's what they wanted. They wanted freedom from Rome. They wanted to be freed from Assyria. They wanted an earthly king to rule them, to free them, and to set up a kingdom here. That's what they desired. That was their desire for peace. That's what peace looked like for them. But their root problem was not that they were at war with Assyria. Their root problem wasn't that they were at war with Rome. Their root problem was that they were at war with God. They chose the pagan practices of their neighbors. They chose to rebel against God. They chose these things, and that set them apart from God. They were far away from God. And that is why he allowed them to be overtaken by their enemies. Remember, peace is a state of mutual harmony between people. Their mindset was they needed harmony between other men. They needed harmony between another country. God doesn't just grant peace to all men. Our souls can't be at peace when they're divided from God. Sin kills and separates. So it separates us from him. It makes us far away from him. God is the giver of life, so apart from him, we cannot have peace. So when he says that I have come to, that he come peace on earth to men, he didn't come to just bring peace on earth to men. He came to bring peace on earth to those with whom he favors. He came to bring peace on earth to those with whom he is well pleased. And he can't be well pleased with us if we're rebellious against him. If we're living in sin against him, if we're his enemy, that's why that's important to understand who he came to bring peace to. Look at Colossians 1, 15 through 20. It says this, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is the first in everything. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. What is this telling us before we go to verse 21 and 23? It says this to us. First of all, the Son of God took on flesh in Christ, in Jesus, to reveal God to us so that which was invisible, that which we could not see, that which we could not lay our eyes on, we could see. We can know God. We can know the attributes and the character of God. In fact, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So we can look at Christ and we can look at his attributes and we can know the Father because of Christ. He did that for us. He came to make visible the God which was invisible. But then the scripture tells us he existed before anything was created. He is responsible for creating all things, and all things that have been created were created by him, but also for him. It says the seen and the unseen things, the things we can see on this earth and the spiritual things that we cannot see. It says that everything was created by him and for him. It is Christ who, as the Bible says, spoke these things, that it was working through him, that it was made by him, but also for him, for his glory. That is why these things were made. That is why you were made. You weren't made for your own kingdom. You weren't made for your own glory. You weren't made for your own purposes. You were made for the glory of God. This earth does not belong to you. This world is not your possession. The Bible tells us it belongs to Christ. It is his. He possesses it. In fact, the scripture tells us that he has been given all authority over heaven and earth. That it's his. He is king. And because it belongs to him, the Son of God's purpose for taking on flesh was to reconcile everything back to himself, because it's his. It's his possession. He is going to take authority back over it. He is going to take rule back over it. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that even the earth was subjected to the curse of sin because of us. We sin and cursed the world. Mankind sinned and cursed the earth. It did not do anything to be cursed on its own. And yet it was cursed because of sin. This earth belongs to Christ. It is his, it is his possession. And so he took on flesh to reconcile it back to himself, to redeem it back to himself. It's through Jesus' shed blood on the cross that he makes peace with everything in heaven and on earth, including us. So it is through his shed blood on the cross, it is through him going to the cross and dying, that all things, the earth, all of creation, including us, can be set free and at peace with him. Look at verse 21 through 23. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. To me, that sounds like peace with God. To me, to be able to stand before him holy, blameless, without a single fault, brings peace to our soul. The angel and heavenly host proclaim peace to people with whom God is well pleased, with those who have his favor. Write this down. Jesus' birth and death was to give mankind favor with God. Jesus was born, he lived a perfect life, and he went to the cross as the perfect sacrifice to provide God's favor for you, so that you could have his favor, so that you could be the one who he looks at as holy, blameless, without a single fault, and he would say that he is well pleased. My question to you today is this: do you want true peace? Do you want real and lasting peace? Peace at the soul level. Peace that is not fleeing with every circumstance and every difficulty, with every trouble, with all the, if 2021 was worse than 2020, where it's just you've lost all peace of mind, where there's struggle within your relationships and you lose all harmony with other people. Not that kind of peace, but the peace of mind, the peace and harmony between God that's lasting, that's real. That kind of peace does not come by you being some religiously great person. It doesn't come through your religious efforts. It doesn't come by earning favor with God. Maybe that's the environment you came out of, that you got to work, that you got to, some of you might think that if I just come for a Christmas service and I sit in this auditorium and I'm at church, or if I get involved in the church, or if I give a certain amount of money to the church, or if I, you know, go and help with some charities or with some social organizations, and I do a lot of good things, then I can earn God's peace. I can earn God's favor. I can earn his approval. I grew up much like that. That if you didn't do certain things, you must not have God's approval. You must not have his favor. Some of you think that you can earn his approval by being here today. Some of you might just be trying to earn a parent's approval by being here today. So I can call mom up and say, guess what? For Christmas, I went to church. But some of you strive and you are trying to earn what you cannot earn because you're not the perfect sacrifice. You're separated from God by your evil thoughts and actions. You're his enemy. You don't have what it takes to create a peace treaty with him. You don't have anything to offer to him. The Bible says even our sin is as dirty rags. We have nothing to offer him. And maybe that's some of you today thinking that you can just get it right, thinking that you can just earn it, and yet you can't. This kind of peace can only come by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus alone. It comes by trusting that Jesus is your perfect sacrifice, that he came, he put on flesh to come to this earth to live the perfect life, that he was not separated from God with his evil thoughts or actions because he had none. He was perfect in all of his ways. And so you can have that peace by trusting that he did that for you, that he went to the cross to pay your debt, to pay for sin that he did not commit, but you committed, that you deserve for eternity to be separated from God in hell. That's what we all deserve. I deserve that. And yet Scripture shows us and teaches us that Christ put on flesh to live your perfect life that you could not live, to die the death that you deserve, to be buried in a tomb for 3 days, so that when he was risen to new life from the power of God, that you too, by trusting in him, could be risen to new life, that you could have new life, that you could have hope for eternity. And in that, in what Christ did for you, he earned favor in God's eyes for you. It is because of his death on the cross, his shed blood, that you can stand in the presence of God, holy, blameless, without a single fault, that your soul can be at peace, not by what you do, but what Christ did for you. It's this very message, though. I don't want to lead you to believe that, hey, okay, I believe in Jesus, I say a prayer, I trust in him, whatever, and I'm going to have this peace. No, it is this message of the good news that divides. This is what Jesus was talking about. If you make him Christ King and Lord, and you choose him, it will cause division. It will divide you from a world that teaches there are multiple ways to God in heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one comes to God except through him. Why? Because he is our favor. He is the one that gives us favor with God so that we might have peace. And so there is no other way. There is no other avenue. There is no other God. There is no other religion. And so it is this message that will divide. It'll divide you from other religions. It'll divide you from legalism that tries to enslave you to religious rules and to man-made standards in order to achieve right standing with God. It'll divide you from the people who will try to put that yoke of slavery on you, of religion. This message also divides you from the world and living according to its standards. It'll divide you from yourself and your own flesh, because your flesh wants to do what you want to do. It wants to please itself. It wants the pleasures of the world and of this earth, but yet when we make an allegiance to Christ, it will divide us from those things. It can only be Christ, Christ alone. We can only have one king. We can only have one Lord. We can only have one ruler, and it is either Christ or it is our sinful flesh. This allegiance to Christ will separate us. It'll separate you from friends. It might separate you from family. As I said, there are religions that if you proclaim the name of Christ, they will disown you. There are some that will even have a funeral for you. There are people who, to their family, they are dead to them because of Christ, because they have chosen Jesus as King. So in closing, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is the only one who can give you eternal peace in your soul with God. He made it possible. No one else, nothing else. It is through Jesus we can have that serenity, that unity, that contentment in the midst of relational strife, in the midst of political strife. When we face health and financial troubles and setbacks, we can have that peace. Why? Because we belong to Christ. He is our great reward. He is our treasure. We have everything in this world that we need. No matter what happens on this earth or in this life, we have Christ. He is our possession. He is our reward. He is our favor with God. And so no matter what fears or unknowns that you face today or the rest of 2020 or in 2021 or the rest of your life, you can have peace. You can have serenity in that. You can be content. That's what Paul said in Philippians. We've talked about this a couple weeks ago. It's not a bumper sticker verse. It's not for just for a coffee mug. It doesn't mean that if you're 120 pounds that you can go be a lineman in the NFL. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's not just a blanket statement that you can go jump off the top of a skyscraper building and survive that because I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. No, he was writing that in prison, being starved, being beaten for his faith, for Jesus. And what he was saying is, in those circumstances, I can be content in that circumstance. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can be starved, I can be beaten, and I can stay content and at peace in my soul. Why? Because I have Christ, my great treasure, my great reward. And today, you can have that same peace. You can have that favor with God. So as I close today, if you belong to Christ, if you have that relationship with him, then this might just be a moment of prayer to worship him, to praise him, to give him thanks for the peace that you have, for the favor that you have, for the right standing that you have, that you can stand before God today, holy, blameless, without a single fault because of Christ. You can thank him for being the greatest gift ever, the gift that gives you salvation, the gift that gives you a new life, the gift that gives you a new king to follow and to serve and to live for. But then there might be some here who you don't have this peace. You don't know this Jesus. It's in this moment I'm going to give you that opportunity. There's no magic prayer to pray. You can have that conversation right now with God. The Bible says, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. So that means that with your heart, you believe that Christ came and lived the perfect life. He paid your payment on the cross for your sins. He was buried and he rose to new life so that you too can be risen to new life, not just for eternity, but in this earth too, that you can be made new for this earth, for now. So you believe that in your heart, and the Bible says confession is made. That means as you pray, you can confess Jesus as Lord, that he is your Lord. You can repent of your sins and he will forgive you. The Bible tells us this: for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can put your name in that whosoever. If Nick calls on the name of the Lord, Nick will be saved. It is a promise. You can do that right now. And if you do that, whether in person or whether online, if you're online, you can click the little link, the tab, and they'll put one on there as well that says that I have decided to follow Jesus or whatever it says, but you can click that and you can let us know. Why? Because we want to walk with you. We want to help you take your next steps. We don't want you having to navigate life by yourself. And if you're here physically, in person, there's a connect card right in front of you or in the seat behind you. We would encourage you to fill that out. Let us know. Put it in that black lockbox back in the back as you leave. Why? So we can walk with you. We can help you take your next steps as a new follower of Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he is our great treasure and our great reward. This morning, we worship him. We honor him. We give him all glory because he is worthy. We thank you that we can be at peace with you because of him. We thank you that it is because of Jesus we have favor with you. And so today, God, accept our heartfelt praise and worship to you, to Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who indwells us and lives within us to give us the power to live this life, but also to keep us at peace, to keep us with contentment and joy, even in the midst of troubles and problems. And so, God, we thank you. And then, God, I pray for those who might be in this service or they might be tuning in online that, Lord, they don't know you today. I pray that through the preaching of your word, through the truth of the scripture, that, Lord, you would not only open their ears to hear the truth, but they would open their eyes to see you for who you are today. King Jesus, Lord and Savior, lover of our souls. the one who provides peace and favor with the Father, the way, the truth, and the life. May they see that today. And then, God, give them a heart to understand the good news of the gospel. I pray that your Spirit would speak to them, would move, would draw them to yourself, and that they would listen, and that they would answer, and that today they would call on you, they would place their faith in your Son, Jesus, for salvation, and that in that you would favor them, that you would be well pleased with them, and give them life eternal. We love you. We thank you for this Christmas season. We thank you for Emmanuel, God with us. It is in his name I pray.